Today's program is brought to you by the Museum of Food and Drink, sparking curiosity about food with exhibits you can eat. For more information, visit mofad.org.
I'm Tim Gunn, author, educator, and Project Runway mentor, and you're listening to Heritage Radio.
Hi, welcome back to Magnifico Radio, the weekly podcast featuring conversations in ethical fashion, clean beauty, and sustainable living. I'm your host, Kate Black, and I just want to say a heartfelt thank you to everyone for your support, to all of our listeners, and to everyone who's been tweeting and sharing on social media. This is the beginning of our third season here on the Heritage Radio Network. Each week, I sit down with designers, makers, and leaders at the forefront of sustainability to discuss their journeys and motivation. This podcast is an extension of my blog, Magnifico.com, and that's Magnifico.com, and my book, also called Magnifico, Your Head-to-Toe Guide to Ethical Fashion and Non-Toxic Beauty. Today's guest didn't start her career in fashion, but given her passion and her design experience contest, now in its third year, it might be the one where she makes her greatest impact. Welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Just sitting on the other side of the ocean, I just wasn't sure if I'm already on.
You are definitely on and we are live. So yes, so I'm talking to Andrea today. She's in Berlin. We couldn't get together in Brooklyn, so this is the Brooklyn-Berlin matchup. So can you tell everybody about, let's just start at the beginning. How did you get involved in fashion?
Fashion came to me. I wasn't involved in fashion at all. I actually studied economics and was in marketing until I moved to Marrakesh and actually renovated a riad, an old house in the Medina of Marrakesh, and was fascinated by the craft and the skills of the people. And I started collecting old vintage bags, like hand-embroidered leather bags. And when I brought them back to Berlin, where I live, a lot of my girlfriends, they said, wow, they're really cool, and like I would like to have one too. So I started collecting these bags and bringing them back to friends. And then I got involved into the stories of the people, because every time I found a bag, people told me about how it was made, but also how they struggled to keep quality because a lot of Chinese imports, prices go down, and their skills are not valued. And this is kind of how I thought, I want to change that. And this is how I got into fashion.
It's so funny how almost all my guests have similar stories or similar moments where they just kind of got connected with tradition and craft. And so when you were redoing this house in Marrakesh, you were made a conscious decision to do it as authentically and using as many traditional crafts as possible. Why did you have that vision?
Well, we thought going to this country, we really would like to kind of tell the story of the country and their traditions and also learn ourselves and kind of bring it together, like what things from our world that mix with or blend in with the local skills.
And was it an easy transition?
It was a fantastic transformation, I would say, at the end.
How long did it take to transform it?
It took about a year.
Okay.
Yeah, 1 year.
And now the space is available for other people who want inspiration, right?
Absolutely.
It's the smallest hotel in the Starwoods category?
It is. It is. We are like, if you go to the Starwood website and you go into Marrakesh and you look for the smallest house, then it's up.
That's amazing. And so as you started to kind of get involved with your neighbors and your community in Marrakesh, and you started to kind of engage with these women about these purses, how did you started to bring those purses back to Berlin, how did this form into a business?
Well, to be honest, the first idea was more kind of, okay, I sell the vintage bags and then I reinvest the money in education projects for the women so that they can actually go the next step, like learn how to read and write and things like that. But then soon, because I studied economics, I thought, actually not challenging. And charity is nice, but you could transform much more if you actually would help the people to use their skills and to be active and actually help themselves. So at a certain point, I was sitting with a friend, and the traditional bags, the straps, you cannot like make them longer or shorter. So she was like, well, these bags would even be better if you could adjust the strap. And that was actually the moment when I thought, yeah, that's the idea. You have to bring together young design and modern eyes for functions and trends and forms, but use the traditional techniques to make something unique, emotional, with high quality. And that was the moment when it started to transform to be a business.
Amazing. And you have a shop in Berlin. When did you open the shop?
We opened the shop 4 years ago.
So you opened the shop. Traditionally, you started to sell the goods that you were importing. When did this idea of creating the design experience come to you?
Well, the first collection I did with a designer friend in Marrakesh. And then I thought, like, I went to ESMOD, which is a design university here in Berlin, and asked the professor what she thinks about it, and she actually loved it. So she's like, why don't you want to pitch in front of our students? And then I started the dialogue with the young design generation, and I actually learned that also for them it's really difficult, number one, to get into the market, to get a name, but also like to combine their passion for creativity and fashion with their consciousness, with being a sustainable designer and actually finding a job being a sustainable designer. So I thought, like, how cool is that? We can support local artisans, but at the same time also kind of support young designers to actually make a first step into the fashion business. And so that was the first time where we did a kind of a trial, and one of the designers did her master with us in Marrakesh. And then, to be honest, it was kind of I thought, okay, what we can do in Morocco with ESMOD, we can do everywhere in the world with every design university in the world. And we can just do a global designer contest.
And it's amazing because, but that's what's so kind of revolutionary, because I think you're probably one of the only ones in the world that has a contest, but that has a contest that goes just beyond an internship opportunity. Because I think that you're not alone. I think that there's a lot of groups that work with artists and communities that are really trying to bridge young designers and design thinking with these communities, but don't necessarily have the capacity. So you created a foundation, you got some really great sponsors, and then you've kind of opened this up to this global competition. So let's start at the foundation. What made you decide that they needed to be funded from a foundation?
I'm sorry, can you please ask that again?
Yeah, what made you decide to start the contest from the foundation, as opposed to like funding it from your work or from the store?
Well, it is an education project, kind of, for both sides. And we really actually want them to learn, but also it's,
And because it's a foundation, because it's not for profit, then you were able to get some really great support. So, for example, Dr. Hauschka, the German beauty brand, is one of the sponsors of the contest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how did you bridge that? How is Dr. Hauschka interested in emerging designers working in traditional communities?
Well, it's all about storytelling at the end, you know, and about bringing values together that match. And Dr. Hauschka is a very conscious brand, and they care for their plants and what they do as much as we care for the artisans and the things behind. And then on top, we tell the stories of the people And we integrate also countries that the Hauschka also plants their ingredients. Like, for example, now we go to Ethiopia and Dr. Hauschka is planting their roses in Ethiopia. So also we kind of bridge these stories and tell them through our platforms.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the connection. So when you started in 2015 in Ecuador, it's because Dr. Hauschka also has some projects in Ecuador.
Actually, they weren't. They only started now to be part of the design experience with Ethiopia.
Oh, okay.
Before we worked with AEG as well. Electrolux, who is like doing washing machines.
Yeah.
But they have a really cool project, which is called the Care Label Project. And they want to create awareness that 50% of the ecological footprint of a garment is actually in the hand of the buyer. So, like, as a designer, you have 50%, like, how you produce and what you do, but then is it actually how you care? Like, how often do you wash? How hot do you wash? And how often do you wear a garment, or do you just wear it twice and then you throw it away, or it's, like, only in your closet? And they have, like, this awareness campaign, and we're, like, one of the designers who is kind of supporting this idea of creating awareness that it's in our hands as much as in the hands of us as a designer, as us as a customer.
Amazing. Okay, and so the way that the contest is structured, and again, it's open to any emerging designer from any country in the world, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
And so you...
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, that's the idea. Like, we want to also connect cultures. Like, last year, the winner was Pam, who was originally from Zimbabwe, and she went to Ecuador. So she didn't speak any Spanish, but she managed to kind of go to the Andes. She lived 2 months with this community in Ecuador and created an amazing bag collection.
And I love this story, too, because she... When she made the application and she put in the application, if I remember correctly, she wasn't even sure what kind of indigenous materials she would be working with. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So these are accessory designers who are looking for an experience and looking for a cultural exchange. So she won, you sent her off to Ecuador, and then she lived for 2 months.
Yeah.
And worked with a community there, worked with indigenous materials there, and then came up with the most stunning woven... what's it made out of, her collection?
It's made of alpaca, wool, leather, and bust, straw.
Right.
The thing is not, like, when the winner is announced, we then start a mentoring process. So then she gets information from us, like where she goes, what kind of skills there are, what materials they use, so that we kind of, before she goes there, we already work on ideas of the collection together. So she knows, like, what she's encountering, or he.
Amazing. And then the support is there after she comes home. So not only do you sell the collection in the store in Berlin, but you also entered for that particular collection into the Handbag Designer of the Year award. And did she win that, or she came runner up in that?
She was nominated. Like, she was in the last five.
Right.
She didn't win, but she was in the most socially responsible handbag.
Yeah, it's so amazing. Okay, we need to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and I want to talk about last year's winner, whose collection is coming out as we speak.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dave Arnold, the host of Cooking Issues on the Heritage Radio Network. We all know and love Chinese takeout dishes like General Tso's chicken and egg rolls, but here's the thing. Even though we call it Chinese food, it's not like the food you'd find in China. What's the story behind this cuisine, and how did it become so popular that you can find a Chinese-American restaurant in nearly every town in the country? The answers may surprise you. Visit the Museum of Food and Drink in Brooklyn and see our newest exhibition, Chow, Making the Chinese-American Restaurant. Chow engages visitors with compelling accounts of how Chinese immigrants overcame racism and created Chinese-American cuisine. Discover the science behind the flavors of your favorite takeout dishes, feast on rotating tastings developed by the country's most talented Chinese-American chefs, and try your hand at writing your own fortune, which will be baked into actual cookies by a 1,500-pound fortune cookie machine. What better way to learn, connect, and eat? You can visit Chow at the Museum of Food and Drink on Fridays through Sundays from noon to 6. Tickets and more information can be found at mofad.org.
And we're back. You're listening to Magnifico Radio. This is Kate Black. And today I'm sitting down, well, across the pond with Andrea Burry of Aburi Design. So this is the third edition of the Aburi Design Experience, which this year is going to send a winner to Ethiopia to preserve world craft and culture through design. All you need to do is be over the age of 21. And if you're recently graduated, it needs to be within 5 years of graduation. So let's talk about last year's winner, who was also Canadian. Is that, do I remember this correctly?
Yeah, he was from Canada. And we sent him to Morocco.
Amazing. And so just before the break, you said that you sit down with the winners beforehand, so they know the materials, they know some of the local crafts. And so what was he most interested in, or what was he most inspired by about Morocco?
He is working with leather and in Canada as well. So for him, it was like his home material. But it's always a cultural shock, kind of, when they really like come to the country, especially if they haven't traveled so much before. And so he was most amazed by the people, I have to say. So and then also about that the culture is so completely different, but then there are so many things that actually connect, although you are on the other side of the world and you have a completely different cultural background, but still you care for the same things. And he felt at the end very, very close, although at the beginning he felt very far. And for his collection, he kind of described this process of getting closer to this other culture, that he looked at the people through windows and doorways, because there are a lot of like these big doors and doorways and windows. And so he integrated that. It's kind of discovering a culture through the windows. Yeah.
Oh, that makes perfect sense now that you say it, because I have the press back and I was looking at how beautiful the bags look, and they're color blocked, and I was trying to understand the shape. And so now that you say that, I'm like, oh, of course they're windows and doors. So they're color blocked in leather with this kind of this image of a window or a door as the blocking. Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Okay, and so this contest you extended, some of the listeners might see some wording that says that the contest ends on May the 5th, but it's actually been extended until when? May the 12th?
Yes, absolutely. It's extended to May 12th.
And so how do people who are listening, how can they apply?
It's very easy. You just go on edx.aburi.net, and there's an online application. So there are questions that you can like answer, upload some photos. And what we also would like to have is a small video that you can just do in front of your computer, where you just tell us why you would like to be the next Aburi designer and why you're fascinated by crafts and like what's motivating you, so that we get to know the person as well.
Perfect. And so that's ADEX, because that stands for the Aburi Design Exchange. So ADEX.aburi.net. And so what kind of advice do you have for emerging designers who maybe don't go through this contest, or who are kind of trying to merge their own passions with other cultures? What kind of advice do you have about working with traditional craft cultures?
Well, Well, first of all, it's kind of, you really have to let go from your classical, like, planning and thinking. I think it's really about diving into another world, and also it's adapting. Like, what we learned with traditional craft communities is kind of, you cannot work in, like, harsh deadlines and like we usually work. But it's fascinating to let go, and it actually, at the end, it always works. But the more you want to keep it like you think it's right, the less it works. So, and the more you let go, the easier it is.
And do you think that's also true about, like, leaving your footprint? Because I know that there's been some dialogue over here in North America about this marrying of design and craft cultures, or tradition and modern, and where can we draw a line about making too much of an impact, or actually, I don't know, doing something to the indigenous craft with our own perspectives. Is there a certain personality you think that does best in that kind of marrying of old and new?
That's a really good question. It's really hard to tell, because I've seen so many different characters now, and I don't want to say it's just one personality that can actually survive. It really depends on how you react when you're on the spot, and I think it's about taking time as well and building trust, and then a lot of things are possible, because the people are always super motivated and they want to prove that they do amazing things, and it's just about to unleash that passion and then, yeah.
Amazing. And have you experienced any obstacles? Like, when you had the first design exchange in Ecuador, or last year in Morocco, was there anything that came up that was surprising, or a challenge that you didn't expect?
Well, to be honest, like, every time there are new challenges that we encounter. So I think, yeah, that's pretty normal. Well, the first year, for example, we learned that we have to mentor much more, because we travel so much and we are so used to dive into different cultures. It's still exciting, but it doesn't disturb you. And if you have a designer who is not so much used to living in another culture, and not living in a hotel, but also living with the people, and maybe not used to also see, like, poverty, and I'm not talking about really deep poverty, but still for our eyes maybe poverty, then they need a little bit more guidance and support. So now, for example, we talk with the designer at least every second day when they're on their trip. But then also, on the other hand, with the craft communities, you have really funny things, like you order some bags, and then they come back in a completely different color, and you ask them, like, why did you choose that color when we asked for that color? And they're like, yeah, but this color is actually really nice, and have you seen the embroidery? It's fantastic. So they're wrapped for all of these bags, and they don't really care about the color, because their embroidery is amazing. And yeah, so every time you have a new surprise.
It's amazing. So it's a contest that's open and probably appealing to people with a bit of wanderlust, people with certainly with an open mind, and really any accessory designer who wants a new experience and really wants to kind of dive into culture through design. Is that correct?
That's absolutely super correct.
And now
in Ethiopia, if there is somebody who has experience, like we'll have cotton and hand-woven silk, so just for them already to know what will be there.
Okay, so the materials from Ethiopia are predominantly going to be cotton and silk?
Yeah.
And it will be a handbag or an accessory collection that they'll be creating?
Yeah, well, I can imagine some smaller bags, obviously, but then I can also imagine scarves, cushions, like, no matter.
Amazing. And so the prize is really this opportunity to create a collection then that Avery is going to sell for the designer.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of the travel and production budget, and then obviously also the PR package. So they will be featured in a press release. We'll produce a hang tag that is with the name of the designer and a quote and a photo that is on each bag that we sell, so that people know who actually has designed it. We'll think about like where we can put it into contests, like with PAMS for the handbags, for the Independent Handbag Design Award. So yeah, we'll definitely like also in the months after the design experience, we will promote the designer.
Amazing. And anybody who has a chance to go to Berlin in the next couple of months should come by your shop so that they can see these past collections. Where is the shop located?
The shop is in between Prenzlauer Berg and Mitte in Kastanienallee. It's pretty central.
And if they don't get the opportunity to come to Berlin, they can purchase the bags and the accessories online?
Yes.
At Avery?
It's Avery.net.
Avery.net. And do you have any international stockists, or is there anywhere that people can buy the bags outside of Berlin?
To be honest, not so many at the moment. We sold some bags to a bag museum in the U.S. And we are open for wholesalers.
Yes. Wholesalers listening to the show, call Andrea. So this is my third season, so I've decided to add this new segment, and it's called Three Quick Questions. So I wanted to know, if your life had a motto, what would it be?
Well, there's a quote of Nietzsche who said, you have to carry a little bit of chaos in you to give birth to a dancing star. And I think that's really what my life is about. It seems to be very chaotic, but I think that's how you can create amazing things.
Amazing. And who or what inspires you?
Definitely other people and other cultures. I really love to learn how other people live, their view on life. And you can learn so much by traveling and listening. So, yeah.
And what's left on your bucket list? What are you working towards?
Having more time to travel.
Well, how often do you travel?
I do travel quite a bit, but I travel a lot for work. So then you don't really get a lot of, like, possibility to really explore a country. So maybe I would have to say to travel with some time.
Nice.
That's maybe my private goal. But like for Avery, obviously, we want to kind of expand the network, bring the design experience to many more countries, and spread the word. So that you can change the world also through business. We have just been certified as a B Corp.
Oh, congratulations.
So, thank you. Yeah. I'm pretty proud now being like part of this amazing group of companies who kind of believe in this common goal.
That's amazing. And to that point, actually talking about the Avery design experience, if anybody out there works at a fashion college, Andrea has amazing posters and a bunch of handouts that she prepares for this contest. So if you have time to get in touch with her for the closing date of May the 12th, you could do so this week and she could provide you with those, or definitely reach out to her for next year to make sure that your graduating students and some of your alumni with less than 5 years from school have the opportunity to take advantage of this amazing contest. Andrea, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much. That was really exciting.
And so tell us where, for social media, where can people follow the finalists and see what the new collection looks like? You're on Instagram,
yeah,
right?
We have a Facebook site, which is Avery Design Experience. But then also on Instagram, you can follow us at Avery Collection. And the same on Twitter.
Amazing. So thank you again to Andrea Burry. Thank you to the Heritage Radio Network. You can find and subscribe to Magnifico Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. And if you like what you hear, kindly give us a review. I'd love to hear your thoughts and also a rating. It helps us rank higher amongst conventional fashion podcasts and to push these conversations forward. Have a question, want to be a sponsor, recommend a guest? You can always reach me directly at radio@magnifico.com. And remember, it's magnifico.com. And want to learn more about artisan products and craft traditions, plus hundreds of other stories, visit magnifico.com. Until next week. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.